once we move past the apostles, right, the biblical account, we obviously have a whole plethora of heroes to look at, both men and women, and we have positive examples, negative examples all through the pages of Scripture, and those narratives in part are given to us for our instruction, for us to learn from those accounts. So obviously that's primary, but then we move beyond the time of the apostles, and probably the most significant figure in church history is Augustine. While most of his life was lived in relative peace, he stood on the brink of turbulent change. The mighty Roman Empire was falling. Matter of fact, during Augustine's lifetime, Rome was defeated, and that was just a huge deal. I mean, it would be like America being invaded and conquered by Iraq or Pakistan, or you pick the hostile country out there. I mean, this was just, it was a little ways away. Augustine was in North Africa, and of course Rome was on the other side of the Mediterranean Sea, but that invasion was coming. It was coming to North Africa. And so living at this time of, most of his time was spent in the peace of the Roman Empire, but change was coming. So just a critical time in history. He wrote extensively, and that's why I say he was probably the most influential person in the church after the apostles. The number of writings, he's incredibly brilliant and a great communicator. At that time, one of the greatest skills you could have would be to be an orator, right? To be able to not just speak well, but to debate, to think, to persuade. And he was a tremendous communicator, and he communicated in writing as well as orally. And so just a giant in church history. I think we have a painting here of him, simply entitled St. Augustine. And you kind of see him, surrounded by some of his vestments. He ended up being the bishop of the North African church. But he also has a lot of his books and things there on his desk. Early in his life, he was really committed to sort of academics, but he's gazing off. He ultimately found his, he made sense of things when he looked to God and to the Scriptures. So again, just a tremendous, tremendous person of influence. Now, I actually don't want to talk about Augustine tonight. Why are we talking about Augustine, right? I actually want to talk about his mother, Monica. And here's another painting of the two of them. Staring off into who knows what, right? But it's Monica that I want to focus on here tonight. And I'm going to suggest to you that Augustine only had the impact that he did because of a godly mother. So Augustine was born in 354, the year 354. That's a long time ago. That's like 1,600 years ago. It's a long time ago. And he was born in this location. Do you see the yellow dot? Any of our kids tell me what continent that is? Oh, thanks for raising your hand. Wow, somebody's taught you well. Yeah, that's Africa. That's Africa there. So, and particularly, probably would be like modern-day Algeria, which is right up there at the top of Africa. So this is where Augustine was born. This is where Monica and Augustine lived. These are modern pictures, but they're taken from that area, and I just thought it's kind of interesting to think about the climate, right? There's the sort of palm trees and a very different kind of architecture, isn't it? Like mud, or I don't know how they make those houses, but it's not out of what we think of as normal bricks or blocks, right? And the colors are kind of interesting. You see the sort of cobblestone streets there, and sort of what you think of maybe as those North African colors there. And of course, if you're going to talk about North Africa, you have to have a picture of a zebra, right? Oh, no, not a zebra. These are camels, right? So, anyways, just transport us right over into North Africa. Most of what we know about Monica, Augustine's mom, is from Augustine himself, because he wrote a book called his Confessions. And he talks a lot about his childhood and the ways that he came to know Jesus, right? Because he didn't, he actually came to Jesus later in life. And so his mother is a major player in his story. And so he includes a lot of details about her. And so that'll probably be our major source as I talk through this a little bit tonight about Monica's life. Augustine's home situation was not ideal. His mother Monica was a faithful Christian, and she wanted her son to know and love God and to serve God with his life. But Augustine's father, Patricius, was not a Christian. And he owned some property. He served in a local government. He provided for the family. He was a reasonably good father. He had big dreams for his son as well, but they had nothing to do with God. He wanted his son to get a good education, to earn a lot of money, and to make a name for himself. I mean, he was not, Patricius, Augustine's father, was not necessarily a real important man or a super successful man, and he wanted something better for his son. So he kind of had that dream for his son. But Patricius did not interfere with Monica's desire to raise Augustine in the Christian faith. So she took him to church, to called the catechumen classes, or we might just call it Sunday school classes, right? She made sure that he was instructed in the faith, and we're going to actually read some of the things that Augustine says about his mother and the ways that she taught him. But Augustine, I just want you to kind of feel that. Augustine is kind of a little bit caught in between a godly mom and an ungodly dad, right? And which way was he going to go, right? Is he going to follow after the ways of God or not? And really, for the majority of his life, Augustine followed the path of his father instead of the path of his mother. Seemed that the pull of the world was stronger than the pull of Christ. And he tells a lot of stories about him. He tells on himself in his Confessions. He talks about how he would deceive his tutor. You know, he would skip school and deceive his parents and his guardian and go off to the movies. Well, it wasn't really the movies, but it was shows and things that he shouldn't have been at. But he was a bit mischievous in that way. He would steal from his parents. He has a whole section where he got in with this group of boys, and they stole a bunch of pears off of somebody's pear trees. They kind of climbed the fence and got in and took all these pears, and they ate like one of them, and the rest of them they just mashed and threw on the ground. I mean, Augustine was kind of rough. I mean, just kind of mean, kind of selfish. Right, so he gives a description of his life, and as he got older, he was really more interested in girls than in God. And that was a big problem for Augustine, actually. He went on to study at a prestigious university and became a well-known and successful university professor in Carthage, there in North Africa, in that same part of Africa. Really successful in the eyes of the world, right? But he was far from God. Not only didn't he embrace the Christian faith, he actually spurned it and adopted some very anti-Christian beliefs. So he was not in a good place. But in the midst of all of this, right, there's Monica, his mother. And she was praying. I'd love to go back again in Augustine's Confessions and just mark all the times where it says she was praying, because Augustine must say it 40 times. She was praying, she was crying, she was weeping, she was pleading with God to rescue her son. And I find this so interesting because even though he was very successful, but she knew that his real situation before God was bad. She knew that he didn't have a right relationship with God. And even though he was successful in all these different ways, in the most important way, he was in great danger. And so she would cry out to God. So this is what Augustine writes about this. He says, "You stretched out your hand from on high and pulled my soul out of these murky depths because of my mother, who was faithful to you, was weeping for me more bitterly than ever mothers wept for the bodily death of their children. In her faith and in the spiritual discernment she possessed by your gift, she regarded me as dead." So, all right, we think a child dies and a mother is overcome with grief. Right? And Augustine says, "My mother knew I was dead. Spiritually dead, right? My heart was dead. And my mother was so overcome with grief for my life." That's pretty powerful language, right? But he just says that she was the one that was praying for me, and it was because of her prayers, her faithfulness, that I was pulled up out of the pit. So another 10 years actually went by after he became a professor, and she just never gave up. He also said this about her, said, "She who had given me life according to the flesh was very anxious, because in her pure heart, through her faith in you and with a love still more tender, she was bringing my eternal salvation to birth." So just like she gave birth to me physically, or she was now giving birth to me spiritually. It's this painful process, right, of childbirth, to see him born, born again. And so, even after he mistreated her, I mean, he treated her horribly, deceived her, stole from her, right, pursued a contrary path, but she never gave up. And I think that's one of the real lessons in church history about Monica, was her persistence and her faithfulness in prayer, the ways that she continued to petition God on behalf of her son. One of the other things I want us to notice, though, is not just that Monica prayed, but that she took action. She was compassionate and she was concerned, but she was also courageous, and she was intentional and she was bold. And she took active steps to confront Augustine and to challenge him and to warn him, particularly from God's word. Augustine wrote about, you get the sense that he heard a lot of speeches from his mom, right? But as Augustine writes about it later, years later, he says that her words were the words of God to me. Notice how he says it here. "Do I dare say," he's speaking to God now, this is Augustine speaking to God, "do I dare say that you were silent, my God, when I was straying from you? Whose then were the words spoken to me by my mother, your faithful follower? Were they not your words? She urged me to keep clear of fornication. I remember in my inmost heart the intense earnestness with which she cautioned me against this. But these warnings seemed to me mere woman's talk. In truth, they came from you. You put her into my life to speak your truth into my life." Pretty big challenge for a mom, isn't it? Think about the fact as a parent that we have an ability, we're not God, but we have an ability to represent God in the home, to speak His words. God's placed us in authority over our kids, and we don't have that authority arbitrarily, but because God has placed us there, right? We're representing God's authority in the home. And Monica embraced that and really stewarded that responsibility well. beyond sort of challenging him and warning him and pleading with him, at one point, when Augustine had gone off into another cult and began openly speaking against the gospel, she kicked him out of the house. Yeah, I don't think she's being mean. She just, her faith was strong, and she knew that Augustine needed to feel the full weight of his decision. What he was doing was abandoning the people of God. He was abandoning God. And that's a bold step as a parent. I've talked to parents through some of those decisions and having to wrestle with some of that. Those are not easy decisions, but I think there's a courageousness in Monica. She loved her son to no end, but she loved him enough to make hard decisions. She loved him enough to say hard things. And again, just another mark here of her godly pattern. And Augustine would write, again, it wasn't immediately evident, but Augustine would reflect on the ongoing impact of his mother's teaching. All that he learned during those earlier years would come back to him in his later years. His mother's words would echo in his mind years later. Another good reminder to us parents, right? Not listening at all, right? How many times have we had this conversation, right? But here we have Augustine saying, and I think as adults, we can recognize this too, and even in the ways our parents dealt with us, are certain things that they instilled in us that those words echo in our minds. Monica spoke faithfully. So she prayed and she pleaded with God. It's probably the thing that she's most known for, but she also spoke and taught and challenged and acted for Augustine's well-being. She also lived consistently. This is another thing that just comes out so clearly. She had a vibrant faith. She was confronted at one particular incident that Augustine shares. She was confronted as a young girl by one of the servants in her house. She would, when she served wine or bring out wine, she would drink some for herself, and this servant accused her of being a drunk. And she took some pretty radical steps to correct any misperceptions about that. But she had a sensitive conscience. She was teachable. She took care of her father and her siblings. She was untiring. This is Augustine's quote, untiring in her acts of charity, attentive to the needs of your saints, and faithful in serving them. She gave sacrificially. She was committed to the church, attending twice a day. Not exactly sure what the format was for that, but quick to respond to God's word. Augustine says she didn't gather to share bits of juicy gossip with other women in the church. She was passionate about understanding God's word and responding to God's word. So this is the context that she brought to the table. It wasn't just empty words, but she brought an integrity and a life pattern that that certainly resonated with Augustine. And Augustine will talk about how she ultimately won over Patricius, her husband. He had a bad temper. He was unfaithful to her. But she spoke about him with respect. He says that she lived a beautiful life before him and preached to him by her way of life. And she won him to Christ 2 years before he died. So Augustine's watching this. This isn't just sort of a personality clash between a mom and a son. I mean, she's speaking out of an authentic heart, full of faith. She's living what she's preaching, right? And this all was part of what God was using to really capture Augustine. Eventually, Augustine decided to go to Rome, to the big city. And as you might imagine, Monica was not very happy about this. She thought, if he goes off to New York or Los Angeles, he's already, you know, he's already out there in terms of his faith, and this is just going to put him over the edge, right? So she's pleading with him not to go, and she's pleading with God to prevent him from going. But he was determined and eventually sailed for Rome, and some years later, Monica would go there as well to see him. But it would be in Rome that Augustine would come to the end of himself and turn to Jesus. Matter of fact, he encountered a very well-spoken, intellectually capable pastor named Ambrose, who could really articulate the faith in a way that Augustine could understand and that he could respect. And he encountered a friend, Alpheus, who was a believer. And God was using these things as well as just his word. He started going to Ambrose Church and sitting under the teaching of his word, and eventually was brought to faith in Christ. There's a great section in his Confessions where he talks about his conversion. Augustine believed that God had answered his mother's true prayers, although not in the way that she had anticipated. Isn't that interesting? She was praying, God, don't allow him to go to Rome. It's going to be a disaster. And God allowed him to go to Rome. But really, God answered her prayer, right? God answered what she was really praying for, her son's salvation. So he says here, and what was the begging of you, my God, with such abundant tears? Surely that you would not allow me to sail away. What was she praying for? That I wouldn't go to Rome. But in your deep wisdom, you acted in her truest interests. You listened to the real nub of her longing and took no heed of what she was asking for all the time. Right? Isn't that a great assurance, too, when we pray? That sometimes, thankfully, God doesn't answer my prayer, at least in the way that I want Him to, but that God knows the true desires of my heart. He knows what's best. And boy, great picture there of the sovereignty of God in the midst of our prayers. Yes, God is responding to our prayers, but He's acting sovereignly to carry out His good purposes. You see all that in that perspective here. Well, after Augustine came to faith and was baptized, they decided, Augustine and Monica, and actually his brother, they decided to go back to North Africa. But as they were waiting to get on the ship to sail from Rome, she became very weak. Monica became very weak and could not continue the journey. And even then, her faith was evident. To me, some of her greatest expressions were in those dying days. Augustine assumed that she would want to be buried back in North Africa, back home, next to her husband, who had died some years earlier. But she protested when Augustine raised this topic on her deathbed. And she said, you are to bury your mother here, in Italy, in Rome. Lay this body anywhere and take no trouble over it. Nothing is far from God. There is no danger that at the end of the world He will not know where to find me and raise me up. Had a great faith expressed. Talk about passing on a heritage of faith to your son, right? And this impressed him a great deal. So just a couple of lessons here tonight. I mean, it's hard to boil it all down, a lot we could say. But I just pulled out four things. Number one, you don't have to be famous to make a great impact for God. Okay? You don't have to be famous to make a great impact for God. It is a high calling to be a pastor or a missionary, but it is also a high calling to be a mother. A humble African mom would make one of the greatest contributions to the advance of the gospel. Her ministry and the life of her son. Right? By the way, isn't that interesting too? We might think in terms of the West and our influence in the world. Augustine, the greatest figure in the history of the church, after we get past the apostles, right? An African man. So again, it's kind of just got to challenge our perceptions. And we don't box God in, right? We recognize that God needs godly tradespeople, right? God needs godly people serving, and we need to spend less time and thinking about where we might want to be, and maybe a little more time on where God has placed us right now, right? Our particular context, our particular assignment. We can make an impact for God right where we are. Also, God can work in spite of, and often because of, our baggage. Sometimes we think that if a certain obstacle were just removed, we would be able to have a significant impact for God, right? If I only didn't have this particular health issue, or if my family was just more intact, right? Or if I wasn't in a blended family, or you know, whatever it might be, I can't help but just look at Augustine in this situation, marriage between a believer and an unbeliever. Monica didn't have an easy life. Her son was rebellious, but these things were not obstacles for God. You know, if you grow up in a home where both your parents are followers of Jesus, what a blessing. Give thanks for that. But we don't need to use that as an excuse or conclude that, boy, God can't use me because I don't have the ideal family background or whatever it might be. God can use us even if we have baggage or problems. Also, godly parenting is hard work. Boy, you read Augustine's account of his mother and she's crying all the time. she's pouring out her heart to God, laboring in tears, pleading with Augustine. I mean, there's conflict, there's sorrow, there's petitions. At one point, she kicks him out of the house, right? And much of this came while he was in the midst of a successful career. And I couldn't get over this. As a parent, convicted about this, that we shouldn't be content that kids graduate from high school, and that they stay out of jail, you know, and that they're not living in my basement at 30, you know, and you know, we ought to have much higher, right, higher aspirations for our kids to love God. She looked at her son, who was successful in the eyes of the world, and considered him as dead. I mean, what really matters in life, right? I mean, I just think if we're doing this parenting thing right, it is hard work. I mean, there's warfare, spiritual warfare, and it's worth it. It's worth the effort. Finally, God faithfully answers the prayers of His people, even when it is not immediately evident. And again, this is really what we most know Monica for, is her faithful, impassioned, persistent prayers for her son. And again, it didn't seem like much was happening through many of those years. I mean, this is over years, right, that she's praying for him. But God faithfully answered her prayers. And I came across this prayer. I thought we could read this together. But this reflects on that aspect of Monica's story and her example. And maybe even as we think about people that we've stopped praying for. Right? There's a little bit of a challenge here from Monica. So let's read together. Pray together. O Lord, through spiritual discipline, strengthen your servant Monica to persevere in offering her love and prayers and tears for the conversion of her husband and of Augustine, their son. Deepen our devotion, we pray, and use us in accordance with your will to bring others, even our own kindred, to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.